Praise the Lord. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that is here with us. Thank you, Lord, that we know that you never leave us nor forsake us, that we can always know that you are there for us to provide, to be our guide, and to help us in every situation that we may be in. So right now, we just come before you and ask you, Lord, that your word may work in us. Lord, that your power, your Holy Spirit may help us to hear it, may help us to appropriate it, may help us to put it to work in our lives. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we've been talking about strongholds to break through in prayer. And we saw already two, you know, sin was one of them, and the other one was lack of knowledge. The third one that I'm going to be dealing with is wavering or doubt. See, we are bombarded by our senses, by the things we see, by the things we hear, by the things we experience. And as a consequence of that, you know, sometimes things don't happen the way we expect them to happen. Sometimes it takes longer than we would like to see it taking long, the short time. And so the idea is that that has an effect on the way we see things and has effect on the way we respond to the word. We have to have some things very clear in our mind to take a position for that, because this is an area that is not very easy to deal with. One of the reasons for that is that we tend to think that we believe certain things, and that is true to a certain degree. But when it comes to face certain situation, it's difficult to let go of the past experiences and past memories. And we had to do that. We had to learn to be spiritually based and not sensually based, okay, based on our senses. Because our senses are just nothing else than the things around us. And that's the thing that we had to break loose from to be able to move on spiritually. All right? So I'm going to, you know, just look at this aspect in different areas, okay? The fact is, you know, I heard some even ministers say, you know, it's good to doubt. And I have a real problem with that kind of statement. Okay, the thing is, doubt what? That's the key. Okay, some things are good to doubt. I mean, one of the doubts that you is good to doubt about is your doubts. All right? But certainly, the Word of God is not something that we should doubt. Because that's the basis for everything that we get, everything that happens to us, everything that we can receive from God. So doubting that is really removing the ground on which we base ourselves, give us the stability. We cannot doubt the Word of God. Okay? That is the first point. Okay? You know, there are some things, though, that in the Bible says that we should look at. You know, one of them is, you know, we shouldn't be naive, or we shouldn't be gullible about believing everything and everybody. Okay, that's the key thing. I think it's fine to judge situation. The Bible talks all the time about judging situations, judging things. You know, in Luke chapter 6, verse 37 says, "Judge not, or you shall be judged. Condemn not, or you shall be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. And people extrapolate that kind of a sentence, applying it the wrong way, and saying, you know, that you know, you shouldn't judge anything. And this is not at all what he's saying there. He's talking about judging other people the way they walk, you know, in a way that, you know, we just accept everything that we see. And he says, no, you cannot accept everything that we see. That's not saying that. We should take a stand. We should take a position for things that we believe in and the things that the Bible says. Okay, so it's not a question of, you know, ignoring things. Okay, in Proverbs 14:15 says, you know, the simple believes every word, but the prudent considers his steps. So the idea is that we have to consider the things that we are facing, not just accept everything. Okay? But there is, you know, the Bible is full of exhortation or direction in this. For example, 1 John 4:1 says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Okay, then goes on and people apply, you know, take the scripture, you know, it show you the way things get distorted, you know. When John was writing about this sentence, he was specifically dealing with an issue that was, you know, theologically spreading in those days. You know, they said Jesus didn't come in the flesh. So, you know, he added the following verse. So, you know, test every spirit. If they say somebody says that Jesus is not in the flesh, you know, is not of God. But that's not the only criteria that you had to use. This is a specific application of a scripture, you know, for a situation. It doesn't, you know, just because I've seen, you know, people in charismatic circles and stuff like that is going around saying, you know, well, you know, did Jesus come into the flesh to test the spirit of the person? Forget it. You are naive. That's not what the Bible says. If somebody takes a position in that area, yes, then you know that it's wrong. But it's not that the issue that is trying to test in the spirit. Testing the spirit involves many different things. So you can take one scripture and apply for everything as a test for being right from God or not. Are you following me? See, often people extrapolate things from the scripture and applies to everything, thinking that's the solution for everything. That's not a solution for everything. That is a solution for a specific situation. Okay. Now, continuing here. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. You know, test says, test all things, hold fast to what is good. Okay, actually, in abstain, you know, following verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. Actually, there is a translation that I even like more. It's William's translation. Says, but continue, that's, you know, that reflects the tenses in the Greek. But continue to prove all things until you can approve them, and then hold on to them fast. So the idea is that it's not just something, you know, we have to continuously test things we are exposed to and discern what is right and what is wrong. And we are given the ability to do that. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us. Okay? So we have to actually exercise our discernment in doing these things. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, a scripture actually I read, I think, last week. But I have another translation, the West translation here. It says, but the spiritual man investigates, you know, the New King James says, you know, judges, but it's the same thing. Investigate indeed all things, but he himself is not being probed by anyone. See, another translation says, you know, that he cannot be understood by anyone or can be discerned by anyone. The idea is that people in the world cannot judge you properly because you are weird to them. The fact is that they are weird to us. All right? Because they do not understand the spiritual things because they have to be spiritually discerned. Okay, that means judged. They had to be spiritually determined, you know, so you had to be able to see through, okay? So, you know, when we talk about, you know, believing everything that comes around, that's the wrong thing to do. You know, you had to exert discernment about things. That doesn't mean, you know, that's different from doubt. The way they were saying, you know, it's good to doubt the things. Well, you know, certain things you should not doubt because otherwise you get nowhere. Okay. So now I'm continuing the Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. We just get into the surface of this. We are going to get more into the areas that we have to develop in a positive way. But the Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do not let, you know, do you not know? And the word knowing there is epignosko, which is more than ginosko, is more than you knowing. This is knowing experientially, knowing deeply, knowing in such a way that you know that you know that you know. Okay? Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Amen. See, this is the things that you had to be aware of. This is the things that we had to discern all the time. And instead of being focused, you know, lots of people think about all the negative things in them and focus on them, and, you know, in that way they open themselves up to be tossed around by saying, well, I don't have it, I'm lacking something. If you are born again, if the Holy Spirit is in you, the Spirit of Christ is in you, then you got what you need.
Amen.
You have the Holy Spirit. And that is more than enough to give you victory if you allow the Holy Spirit to operate in you and if you are aware of His presence in you.
Amen.
See, the thing is, often people are not aware, are aware of all the other things. As a result of that, they end up being pulled by those things in which they focus, because what you focus, you give power to.
Right.
You want to focus on the power of God, on the Spirit of God, on the Holy Spirit in you, guiding you and allowing you to follow His direction, because He's there for that purpose.
Amen.
Okay. So, what you doubt is all the things that are not from God. The things that are maybe your experience, the things that happen to you, things that make your faith, make you not be in the faith the way I was just reading a few minutes ago. The things that have a negative effect on your connection with God. Because the greater one is in you. And this is the things that you had to be not questioning about. This is the things that you had to be sure about. And the one that you have to base yourself on, be able to move on and to be able to be guided by the Holy Spirit. He's there to help you. But you had to be conscious of Him. You had to be focusing on Him instead of the world around you. Instead of what's going on around you. Now, the thing we have to do, basically, is to believe the Word. That's what the Word tells us. You know, what the Word tells us, our identity in Christ, you know, not in the flesh. Our Word tells us, give us God's promises, by which we are able to obtain all the things that we need, that impact our life and enables us to live a life the way God wants us to live. We have to believe those things. God's promises is something that we don't have to doubt about.
Amen.
God's promises are yea and amen, in Christ, Amen. To the glory of God through us. See, so the thing is, you see, those are given to us so that we may be able to give glory to God in one part, but also benefit for the things that He has promised us, because His promises are good promises. Amen. All right? So, one of the things we had to do is to operate, to be in faith, to believe when we pray. See, if we don't pray in faith, our prayer is vain. We had to believe, if we ask something to God, that He wants to give it to us. Now, there has to be some conditions, evidently. Okay? But to start with, okay, we had to connect with Him. Being in faith, connect in our connection with Him. You know, when we don't know, when we are wondering, then we had to ask Him. And that's a starting point that we had to start from. See, to overcome doubt, we had to get to a place of assurance. Okay? And, you know, in James chapter 1 talks very clearly, starting from verse 5, you know, if anyone lacks wisdom, that means doesn't know what to do in a situation, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. And He will give it to him. I mean, this is a starting point. I mean, we had to start asking God, expecting it. But let him ask in faith. You see, asking faith, that means that you believe that He's answering you, that He's hearing you, and that He's going to answer what your question, your things. You know, ask in faith with not doubting. See, doubting is the problem. So here he's talking about doubting. There is a lot of verses dealing with doubting, and we have to understand and relate to them so that we can apply them properly, because one of the problems that we have is that we are always, you see, the enemy comes, the environment, using the environment, the situation that is around us to affect our faith, to affect what we believe. Because when we believe something that God promises, it is not there, and we are asking Him, maybe that one of the results that it is, you know, we start doubting that He wants to give it to us. When instead, if He promised, it's because He wants to give it to us. He's not going to make empty promises. Okay? So, the fact is that, you know, that we had to ask, believing, but not doubting, in faith, but not doubting, you know, because you doubt is like a wave in the sea, driven by the toss and tossed. So, the word doubting or doubt there in Greek, the implication is somebody that withdraw from something. A doubt is that something that you had before, but that you pull back from. Okay? And so God gives us a promise. We like the promise. We want to believe the promise. And then we just give up because of the circumstances around. It seems impossible. It seems that we cannot do it. It seems that God is not answering the way we expect, because sometimes we want to see things on the spot. One of the typical areas for this is healing. Okay, praise the Lord that God performs instantaneous healing sometimes. But we are not guaranteed instantaneous healing. See, the instantaneous healing comes when the operation of the gifts is are manifested. But it's not always, healing is not always through the gifts. Sometimes it's through faith. And through faith, you just have to get it over time, as you keep believing. See, the Lord has way to deal with us, praise the Lord, when, you know, that we, gifts are in operation so that one can get instantaneous things, so that one faith can be raised. But the best way to receive healing is by faith, where you believe and you receive it. Okay. The point is, when that doesn't happen, then God knows how to reach to us and can operate through the gifts to somebody else. See, the gifts don't work for ourselves. Okay? Gifts work for others. See, as he gives them to us, for minister to others. And what we had to learn to do is to use them so that our faith even grows better for ourselves. But when we receive from the Lord for ourselves, it's through our faith, not through the gifts in operation. Are you following me?
Yes.
You know, there are lots of evangelists that haven't been able, you know, that are operating in the gifts, and they go around healing everybody. When it comes to themselves, they can't receive. And you say, what's wrong with them? Okay. Well, if they may be used by God through the gifts, and they, through the gifts, they can minister to others. But come to themselves, the gifts are not operating because the gifts are given to you to minister to others. Okay? So they, unless they learn and understand how to operate in faith, they cannot receive. Well, it doesn't work that way sometimes. Otherwise, things, you know, just look at history. Just look at the history of just, she's one, but I mean, I can make a list of many that shows you the way it operates, you know. And one said, well, it doesn't work for them. No, it's that they had to work in a different way. So in the way they should work all the time is by faith. Because the promises of God are yea in a man. In Christ. So if it's working, you know, so there is not a question of God promising something and not keeping the promise. If we come short, it's not because God comes short, it's that we in our faith come short. Okay? The fact is that we can. God has given us everything that we need for us to develop our faith. But are we willing to pay the price, which is really spending the time in the Word, so that the Word, because faith cometh by hearing, come hearing by the Word of God, and it's not just a question of hearing it once. See, one of the major problems, one of the major blockages that people have is the fact that they know some scriptures, and, well, I know that. Yeah, but the fact that you know that in your mind is not enough. You see, the Word has to become more than something in your mind, has to become God speaking to you, has become Rhema to you, so that you are quickened. And when that happens, it happens.
Amen.
But to get to that place, sometimes you have to be exposed enough to the Word, spend enough time in the Word to be able to receive it, Amen. To receive the Rhema. Are you following me?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, so we had to get to the place, okay, where we are not doubting, where we are not questioning, that we are not looking at the circumstances that are not happening the way we suspect to happen. Okay. We hold on to the truth. Now, you know, in some cases, it's not... You know, if we don't receive it, it's not critical. But in some cases, it's critical. And we need to break through. And God wants us to break through. He made the promises for us so that we can receive. Okay? He's just. So the fact is that if we start looking at the circumstances, then our eyes and our are going to take over of what we believe. And so we start doubting. And we start doubting, we lose the believing that is there. You can be only doing one thing, either believe or doubt. So sometimes the things that one of the things you should not do is to ask the physical world, ask your senses what's happening. Because your senses are based on the world around you and are not based in the spirit. They are carnal. That's our carnal knowledge. We have to go inside ourselves and meditate on the word until the word becomes more real than the physical world around us. So, you know, there are so many scriptures that I could quote. I'm going to try to cut some short. But, you know, in Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and he will not do it, or as he spoken, he will not make it good. So this is a statement that is pretty strong. Okay, if he made a promise, that means he meant to make the promise. He didn't make that, you know, God doesn't speak up just to say something. If he says something, his intention is to say what he's saying. The point is, how are we receiving what he said? I mean, it's for us something that is settled, because his word, you know, is settled in heaven. Okay, there's something that is settled, or is for us is something that is not settled inside us. Yeah. So you see, the thing is not that to do with God, not to do with heaven, has to do with us and the way we feel and the way we respond. See, our response is everything. What makes the difference between us receiving and not receiving? And if we are wavering, the way I was talking before in James chapter 1. If we are wavering, that says very clearly that man should expect nothing from God. So the idea is that we cannot be wavering because we look at the circumstances. Now, I'm not saying that is easy to do if you are in pain or if you are in problem. This is why if you need help, get help. But the idea is that's not what God wants. This is not the way God wants it to come true. He wants you to be able to receive it. Amen. And the least you ask your senses what's happening, the more you ask God what's happening, and the more you're going to receive it. So you focus on Him, not on yourself. It's the same thing. Healing, with the same thing with sin, is anything with anything that you are facing that you want to change the situation the way it is now. You have to stop looking at the situation the way it is. Now, there are some in some areas, you have more control in other areas. When it comes to yourself, okay, I'm talking about that mostly. When you're talking about others, they have their own independent life. Okay, you can influence them. You can help them. If gifts are operating through you, then you can minister to the gifts. But when it comes to yourself, you have the choice and you have the authority over your own territory to command to happen the things according to the word of God. This is where you have to take a position. This is where you had to operate by faith. Okay. Praise the Lord. See, this is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So when it says, you know, by his stripes, you were healed. And you look at that instead of saying, well, you know, I have a pain here now. Then, you see, this is what you had to do. This is why sometimes even when you operate in the gifts, okay, they are there, but I prefer people don't do anything. They just be blank. Because if they start thinking, trying to get it, they interfere with the process of receiving. Because they are focused so much on the problem that they have Instead of focusing on God's presence, they want to minister to them. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. You know, concerning that, we need to receive from the Lord, you know, the vision, the faith, to be able to appropriate what he has done for us. Okay. And this is done through the Holy Spirit working in us. Okay, the Spirit of truth comes, okay, and he will guide us into all truth on the things to come. So the idea is that we are going to be able to be guided through the steps that we have to take if we continue looking at him and not at the situation. You know, we have to trust, basically, the bottom line, we have to trust God more than what we see, hear, feel, and people say. Okay? You know, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, you know, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, find. And he who knocks will be opened. This is, you know, is really everyone? Well, everyone that believes. Okay? You keep asking but believing. Okay? It's not a question of they are being begging God. It's just that you want to have that what God promised. See, there has to be, first of all, there has to be a congruence between you and God. There has to be, you have to be on the same wavelength. Okay? When you are in the same wavelength, then things are much easier because you are not struggling and God is supporting you. All right? So, one of the things that we have to always remember. Okay, we have some problems sometimes. Okay, we do not, test yourself if you are in faith. The thing is, we test ourselves for other things instead of testing if you are in faith. Okay, we test ourselves on the things that we did wrong before. They say, well, you know, I'm a mess. Oh, this, you know, this and the other thing. And what we do is actually we cut off the possibility for God to minister to us. See, we compare ourselves with others, which we should not do. You know, we think that, you know, people that don't receive, you know, they always see others receiving and say, why they got it and not me? Well, you see, just by that comparison, you are cutting yourself off from receiving. What our attitude should be is, if he got it, I can get it too.
Amen.
It's a completely different attitude, completely different perspective. One is a faith perspective. The other one is putting yourself down perspective. You see, he's better than I am. Or is, you know, anything that you receive from God has nothing to do with you be better than somebody else.
Amen.
See, God does not look at your actions. God doesn't look at you as such. He loves you the way you are. And it's not because you missed it many times that he's not going to give it to you the same way as he's giving it to somebody else, not because he was perfect or the other person was perfect.
Right.
You have to realize this. You have to realize that God loves you the way you are.
Amen.
And he wants to make those promises are good for you as for anybody else.
Amen.
It's up to you to put yourself in the position to receive. Okay? You see, in Romans chapter 2, verse 10, it says, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good. And here, works is mean, you know, it's not that it's the perfect, it says it is engaged in, he's trying to do what is good. to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. The idea is God treats everybody the same. All right? The fact that he treats everybody the same, okay? Everybody. He is not making a distinction. The only distinction that he has is somebody is in faith or not. That's all. Okay? You know, many Christians have a real problem when they see somebody coming, you know, they've been Christian for 20 years, 30 years, they have thinking they can get rid of it, you know, some problems, some physical difficulties or things, and they can't get it healed. And a drunk man comes inside the church, get prayed for, and get delivered, set free, and completely free and healed and everything else. And they just are bothered by that. The thing is, the guy knew that he was a mess. And he just trusted God. And he got the answer. If the believer would stop trying to perform to the place to receive and start accepting that what everything he gets from God is by his grace, then, you know, he would have the faith to receive. The thing is, they judge themselves. You see, judge not, and you'll be not judged. See, if the way we judge, we are judged ourselves. We have to learn to let go. We have to trust God with all our heart and lean not in our own understanding, not try to deserve the healing or whatever other things that we need. We have to go before God and believe that he works. You know, it's the same thing with the operation of the gifts. I mean, when we operate in the gifts, it's not because somebody operates in the gifts. It's a special spiritual person. Operation of the gifts doesn't give us spiritual maturity. Hello? The Corinthian church was the more messed up church that there was in those days, and they had gifts more than anybody else. But the fact that they had gifts, okay, was a blessing to them, but they would end up misusing them. Okay, the gifts are important. I'm not putting down gifts. You know, I'm operating in gifts myself. But that doesn't make me special. Anybody filled with the Holy Spirit can have the faith to operate in the gifts.
Amen.
But they have to have the faith. That's all. Which often goes with experience. You see, because you don't look anymore to the circumstances, you trust God, you go ahead and do it, and you are exposing yourself. And God works through you. Hello? And the more, see, sometimes people get to the place in which you know, they're operating the gifts. And after a while, they become self-conscious about that. Because they had the reputation to keep. The very moment when they start thinking that, their ability to operate in the gifts go down the drain. Why? Because, you know, and there are going to be situations in which they find themselves in, which God could use them, that they don't have the courage to do it anymore. Because it may look bad on them. You should, if you are thinking about yourself, you cannot operate in the spiritual gifts. Hello? All right. So, the prayer that we should do is a prayer of faith all the time. That means a prayer believing. See, a prayer of faith is a prayer in righteousness. You have to be righteous to have faith. And righteousness is not determined by your actions. Faith, righteousness is determined by only one thing. You trust in what Jesus did. You see, as a result of that, Because you trust in what Jesus did, you are righteous, because that's the only way. And because you are righteous, then can operate. You see, your prayer become a prayer of faith automatically. Are you following me? So you see, this what we are talking about here is breaking through the bondage or the stronghold of doubt here. Do you see what I'm getting to you? See, I want you to operate like anybody else in faith, so that you can receive if it happens to some gifts of somebody else or by yourself. See, that's, or you work in faith so that the gifts can operate through you and you can minister to other people. If you got filled with the Holy Spirit, God wants to work through you the same way as he works through me or some of the other people, you know, because he filled you with the Spirit for a purpose, and the purpose is to minister to others. Amen. But you can do only according to the faith that you have, Romans chapter 8. 12, sorry. All right? So that's the thing that we had to go into the place in which we can operate in faith, because we are not depending on our righteousness, but we are depending on his righteousness. Amen. Are you still with me? Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, in James chapter 5. Oh, my goodness. All right. One last. We'll see. James chapter 5, says, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. So you see, the thing is, you have dealt with all the issues of self there. Because to be righteous, you have to have dealt with the self stuff. Okay? They're on the side. You are there, trusting God, trusting him. All right? Okay, doesn't end there. Elijah, verse 17, was a man with the nature like ours. Actually, you know, it's true to a certain degree. I mean, yeah, Elijah wasn't born again. So you are even on a better condition than Elijah. Because if you are born again, Spirit-filled, you are better than Elijah, because the Spirit is in you and it was only on him. I mean, he had lots of experience. I'm not saying that he didn't have experience. All right? But the fact is, you can get experience too. All right? Anyway, but the human nature that he had is the things that affects us in a negative way. Okay? That is, doesn't disappear from you. It's still there. So he's still operating within you to a certain degree. But, you know, he was operating in him even more because he was not born again and not Spirit-filled. And he here is saying clearly that he had the same nature as like ours, and he prayed earnestly that he will not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And again he prayed, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So you see, he could affect the weather. Affect the weather. Wasn't Jesus. Wasn't born again. Wasn't without sin. It was an Old Testament prophet. Okay? And he could do that. He says, you know, he did it. The implication here is, if you are, the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So our prayer should be just as effective as the prayer of Elijah. Anybody's happy? I'm just coming to some straightforward conclusion from what the Word says. Amen. Okay. Are we believing the Word?
Yes.
Or are we believing our experience?
The Word.
Are we believing what God promises? Or are we believing what everybody says?
What God says.
I mean, you, somebody can pray, you know, Lord, we have a picnic for the church next month, you know, 3 months from now. We want to be sunny, not rainy, you know. And somebody looked at you, that probably a PhD in theology, and says, you know, do you think you can change the weather?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, amen. In Jesus' name.
Why not?
Right.
I mean, Jesus said, who believes in me, the things that I do, works that I do, he shall do also an even greater work than this. He stopped. The wind, you know, the tempest. If we can do greater work than this, we should be able to do it too. So you are crazy. Yes, I am. I believe the word. I stand on the word. If we stand on the word, you see, you have to start even when you don't get it yourself. Because if you don't start believing before you get it, you're never going to see it happen. But when you start operating in the gifts, and this is where, that's why one of the things why it's important to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is that we start operating with the gifts, and the gifts operate, you know, you get results instantaneously when the gifts are in operation. It's not that it happens sometime in the future or it happens gradually. It just happens. When you start seeing the things just happen, I mean, your faith has to go up with it. I mean, this is going to counteract the negative impact of your senses when you don't get things and you are struggling to get it. Are you following me?
Yes.
So this is why we had to seek strongly the manifestation of the gifts operating in us, because they help us. First of all, to help others. And second, to keep our faith growing, because we have experiences that are beyond the natural.
Amen.
This is why, you know, I believe everybody should learn and develop their gifts so that they can start developing their faith in an area that is evidently supernatural. I think maybe we should, this is a good place to stop. Are you following me?
Yes.
I think we should make a confession here.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we have to appropriate things. You know what, how you do? You believe it with your heart and you confess it with your mouth. So you do that, you appropriate what he has given us.
Amen.
I mean, that's the way you appropriate salvation. That's the way you appropriate healing. That's the way you appropriate the operation of the gifts. That's the way you anything.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Okay, let's pray. Thank you.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father.
Heavenly
Father.
For your Holy Spirit.
Guiding us.
All truth.
Thank you. For your word.
Ministering to our hearts,
enabling us
to receive
all your promises,
because you are not a liar,
and you give us to
all the things you promise.
If we come to you
in faith,
believing,
standing on the word,
appropriating
everything you have done for us.
And today, Lord,
we receive it.
We believe it.
I thank you, Lord,
for the gifts
of the Holy Spirit
working in my life.
I thank you
that if I need to receive the Holy Spirit,
I can receive it today.
Because you
promised it
to those who believe
in Jesus.
Thank you, Lord,
for your power
manifested in my life
to minister
life,
healing,
victory
to everyone
around me
in Jesus'
name.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.